The reading today is Ruth 2, which is on page 268 of the Church Bibles. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort. You have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some of the stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "This man is our close redeemer. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Teresa, for that. I know it was a very long reading. Much appreciated. Let's just pray together before I start. Father God, thank you for the time we have this morning to come before you with both our needs and our wants. Father God, would you speak to us again through your word? Would you reveal your truths to us? And would you embed them in our hearts and in our minds so that we may live out your word in our lives this week? Amen. Amen. Okay, so I do apologise. I lost my voice last weekend, and it's back, but it goes occasionally, so I may sort of sip some water occasionally, but hopefully you'll be able to hear me. So I'm going to sort of go backwards a little bit, because I don't know how many of you were here last week. We started a course on the book of Ruth, and it's a lovely book. If you want to read something over the summer, Ruth, I recommend. It's nice and short for a start, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And it's one of only two books of the Bible where the main character is a woman. Ruth and Esther are the eponymous heroes of those two books, and they're rather wonderful. So what I want to do first of all is I'm going to just summarise what's already happened in the story, just in case you missed last week. So there had been a famine in Bethlehem, in that area, and some of the Israelites, rather than stick it out, decided that they were going to move, and Elimelech and his family move to an area called Moab. And there, sadly, Elimelech dies, and both his sons, who have married Moabite women, also die. So all that's left is Naomi, the widow of Elimelech, and her two daughter-in-laws. And Naomi decides that she's going to go back to Bethlehem. She hears that the famine is over, and she's hoping that she can go back and somehow restore the family fortunes. Orpah, one of her daughters-in-law, decides to stay in Moab with her, goes back to her family, as would be the norm. But Ruth, her other daughter-in-law, wants to go with Naomi. She feels loyal and faithful to Naomi, and she has begun to worship the God of Israel. And so she returns to Bethlehem with Naomi. Now, just to give you a little bit of background to the story. So the book of Ruth takes place during the time of the judges. If you know anything about Israelite history, you'll know that they had some kings, but prior to having kings, they had judges, including one female judge, by the way, called Deborah. So although the story takes place during that time, so we're talking about 1200 to 1000 BC, so about 3000 plus years ago, it was actually written a lot later than that, because there's reference to some of the kings in this book. So it's clearly set at one time, but actually written later. Nobody quite knows who the author is. There's some suggestion that perhaps it was Samuel, but generally that's been discounted because of some of the material in it. It tells this wonderful story of a very ordinary woman who was a foreigner. And through her love and her faithfulness, she becomes, and I'm not sure how many greats, so I've put a dot, 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 the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. What an amazing honour to be part of that family line. And as I said before, it's one of only two books in the Bible that have a female character as the main lead. I think Chris probably did this last week, but I'm going to just, for those of you that weren't here, just give you an idea on the map of where Moab is. So Moab's the other side there of the Dead Sea to Israel. I'm told reliably that it would have taken several days for them to walk, because that would have been their only option as women, vulnerable women and very poor women. They would have had to walk 60 miles from Moab to Bethlehem. And that would have taken them, obviously, several days. It would have taken me. On sat-navs, we generally only walk about 5 miles a day, and then we have to have a pub stop. So it would have taken us an awful lot longer than that, particularly if there weren't enough pubs on the way, we'd have had trouble. But for these women, it would have taken several days to get there. Now, the Moabites and the Israelites were generally at odds with one another. The history to that is long and complicated, but by and large, the Moabites were descendants of Lot, part of an incestuous relationship with his daughter. Let's not go into that right now. They worshipped other gods, They worship a range of other gods. And there is some indication that they may also have taken part in human sacrifice. So for the Israelites, the practices of the Moabites were abhorrent, and generally they are at odds with one another. But here we have a Moabitess, Ruth. She has an affinity with her mother-in-law. Of course, once her husband had died, the natural thing would be, in a patriarchal society that they lived in those days, she would have gone back to her family, and her father would have found a new match for her. She'd have remarried, and that would be the end of what we know of Ruth. But Ruth makes this unusual decision that she wants to support and be with her mother-in-law, Naomi. It's a choice she makes. It's an unusual choice, and she must have known when she made that choice, she was making herself very vulnerable. Widows were probably one of the most vulnerable members in that society. Not just at that time, but even in Jesus' time, there's talk about having to provide for widows and the old. And here you have Naomi, she's both old and a widow. And Ruth is allying herself with her and returning with her to a place she couldn't possibly have known whether she'd be welcomed. She was very much a foreigner. And many people, many of the Israelites, would not have welcomed her when she arrived, regardless of the fact she's coming with Naomi. And yet she makes that choice, she makes that decision, because she believes that's what God wants her to do. And what I love about Ruth is, in one sense, she does nothing very special. And yet, in very many senses, she does something very, very special. We've been doing a series in church over the past few weeks about heroes of faith. And sometimes when you think about heroes, they set them up so high that many of us as Christians feel we can't possibly reach that height. We can't possibly get to that point where we're like Moses. But there's someone like Ruth here. She's an ordinary woman. She has no special gifts, as far as we're aware. And yet she pleases God with what she does, to the extent that God includes her, a foreigner, in the family line of Jesus Christ. So let's have a look at what she does in this chapter that is so pleasing to God. So in verse 2, Ruth says to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields." She takes the initiative here. Naomi, if you know the character of Naomi, she's pretty miserable, pretty pessimistic. She's pretty passive. She's kind of given up on life. Life's not been kind to her, and she's pretty much ready to give up and die. But Ruth wants to do something. She wants to take the initiative. And here, she takes the initiative. She says, "Let me go." She's ready to do the work. And she's actually ready to do some pretty back-breaking work. This is gleaning by hand in the fields. Literally back-breaking, because you imagine you have to get down pretty low to pick up what's left after the harvesters have harvested the corn. Basically, gleaning, which is what she's going to do, was a practice that in law, so in Israelite law, this is part of the law that God gave to the Israelites. He said, in order to provide for the poor, what you need to do is, when you're harvesting, make sure you leave little bits of corn, so that the poor can come and glean them, can come and pick them up. So that's what Ruth goes to do. She goes to pick up what's left of the corn so she could then make that into bread to feed herself and Naomi. And she would have worked really, really hard for that. You have to get up pretty early. I'm not from farming stock, but my husband is. And although they have machinery, I know they get up really, really early in the morning to harvest and to get the harvest in. She would have started early. She would have worked throughout the day, as we discover, with very little break and very little rest. It says she worked steadily. She works consistently. And I think there's a lot to be learnt from that for us. What does God want of us? I think he wants us to be ready to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. Is it to do exactly what we're doing now? Is it to be in the job you're in? Is it to be in the community you're in? Maybe it's something else. Maybe like Ruth, you're being called to another place. Let's be ready to hear from God. Summer is a really good time, I think, for reflection. It's a time when we have that little bit of extra time, hopefully. I think if you're parents of young children, that's probably not the case. But for the majority of us, we have time and space. And it's good to reflect on what's God calling us to. Are we ready? Are we ready for what God wants us to do? And once we know what God wants us to do, we need to be consistent. We need to persevere in that. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus talks about harvesting. He talks about going into the fields. And he says this to his disciples. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, that could be anything that God's calling you to. Where is God calling you to glean? And it might feel a bit like gleaning, that you're just picking up those little bits. It might be that you only speak to one person about Jesus in the next week or so. And that might feel like, well, that's not very much, is it? But God can use that. God can use those little conversations you have. Perhaps it's not even a conversation. Perhaps it's just the way that you behaved in a particularly stressful situation. And someone sees that. Someone sees God in you because of the way that you have behaved in that situation. Perhaps someone has been particularly unpleasant to you and you haven't reacted. God can use that. And so God wants to use those little gleanings, those little things we do to bring him glory. So I just want us to be aware of that for the rest of the week. Because actually that's what our Christian life is about. It's not just about a Sunday morning. It's not just about feeding on his word here. But it's about living that out in the week ahead. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Whatever you do," I'll read it properly, "whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I think we do well to remember that when we're working, that it isn't for our immediate boss that we're working. It isn't just for the wage packet at the end of the month or the week. We are working for the Lord. And the Lord wants to use us wherever we are. And he does that with Ruth rather spectacularly and wonderfully. So let's go back to Ruth again. What else does she do? Well, it says that she meets with Boaz. So Boaz sees her in the field working hard and he's intrigued. He sees her character. He sees that she's prepared to work hard and he wants to know who she is. And the workers tell him that this is Ruth, who's come back from Moab with Naomi. And he says this in verse, let me get the right verse. Might help if I was on the right page. Right, he says this. He says to them, that I've told them, so he says this to Ruth, "I've told the men not to touch you. I've told the men not to touch you." Now that seems a bit of an odd thing for us to read, but in fact in those days, sadly, if you were a lone woman then you were very vulnerable to sexual assault from men around, and that was perhaps double standards going on in those days. And yet, Boaz wants to make sure that she is protected. And I always see that Boaz is a sort of picture of God in this situation. God is there as our protection. And Boaz goes on to use this lovely phrase that Ruth has taken refuge under God's wing. And although the boys at the back are going to go, Yabu sucks, I'm still going to put it up because I think this is lovely. He says, under whose wings you have taken refuge. And I think that's a beautiful picture of how God protects us. That's a little duckling there. Yes, I'm sure they're very tasty, Reese. But under the wing of its mother duck. And I just think that's a wonderful picture of how God protects us. If we're willing to go out and do what God wants us to do, there will be times when we are under attack. There will be times when people will not be very nice to us. You may even feel that you are being undermined at work. You may even feel that perhaps you're missing out on promotion. I don't know, but there may be times when standing up and doing the right thing and doing what God's called you to leads you into conflict. And we need to know that we have God's protection. And sometimes I think we forget, we feel very vulnerable. It may not be work, it may be in situations with family and friends. But let's know that God is our refuge. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. And I think reading the Psalms is a brilliant way to do that, particularly David's Psalms, remind us of God's protection upon us. Jesus even prays for us in John 17 that God will be our protection, we'll be protected by his name. So if Jesus prayed that for us, I think we need to take that on, that we know God's protection for us. Also that we would know God's provision. I'm going to go backwards now. So Boaz says to Ruth in this passage, if you're thirsty, come and drink, come and have a drink. And then he gives her food. When they sit down all together, he calls her over to share in the food, share in the roasted barley. I always imagine that's a bit like popcorn, but maybe I'm getting the wrong idea. But whatever there is, he gives her enough. And God is going to provide our needs. If you feel, actually, that's a bit scary. George is saying, ooh, that we ought to go out and be used by God in our workplaces with our friends. That's a bit scary. Let's ask God to provide us with what we need for that, whether it be words, whether it be strength, whatever that be. God will provide for us. He is our bread and our water. We were talking about needs, weren't we? Well, I need Jesus. I need Jesus, because without him, I can do nothing. And we need Jesus. We need to know Jesus' provision for us in our lives. Boaz is incredibly generous. He gives her not just enough, she must have been pretty hungry after all that hard work, but she's got more than enough. She can take it back to Naomi. And in fact, he tells his workmen, doesn't he, to leave out bits of corn, more than they would normally do, to leave out bits of corn so that she can take that up. And just as Boaz is incredibly generous to Ruth, so God is more than capable of giving us what we need, of providing our needs so generously. Just think of the picture of the feeding of the 5,000. He doesn't just provide enough, does he? There are baskets and baskets left over. And in Luke chapter 6, it says, give, this is Jesus talking to us, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. More than enough. Ruth had more than enough. She could go home to Naomi and share that with her. So, what about us? I'm going to wrap it up now. What's your field? What is it that God's calling you to say, okay, I'm ready to go? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing to be used by God, wherever it is you are? Do you need to know God's protection? There may be situations you're in at the moment you really feel vulnerable. A bit like Ruth felt vulnerable in that field. If so, ask for God's protection. Seek God's protection. Maybe it's not just protection from outside forces. Maybe it's a protection of your mind. Maybe thoughts that you know you shouldn't be having. Maybe it's ways of speaking, things that you're saying that you know you need God's protection over. We need to make time as well to be fed by God. If we're to be used by God, we need to make time to be fed by him. And when God feeds us, he always gives us more than enough. It's not just enough for our needs, but it's enough that we can give it to others as well. Are you making use of that gift, of the gifts that God is giving you, to provide not just for your needs, but for the needs of others as well?